Previously on Imagine Dungeons.
You see a spectral turtle head rise up from the ground.
Do we all see this?
Just Ridley. Okay. You're going to be the progenitor of an amazing species. You're going to do great things, Aya. You recognize that this is a very young ramshackle. And then you wake up. There's a map of the area. Ramshackle has circled the fork in the river and annotated Hag of Crossfork.
Yeah, we're headed up there to see about a hag.
Some of the locals don't like it too much, but I find her quite charming. Her name's Jody. I have several things that I need to unload for the right price. And if you don't have the right price, I do accept favors as payment.
I know somebody that you need to speak to. Ridley!
I will give you a sending stone, and I will redeem my favor when the time is suitable. You guys sail down the river. Snaps has decided to try to cook up some leftovers during lunch. it seems to not be going great. He's like, chef, could you help over here?
Yeah, honey, I'll be right there. I'm coming. Sue will walk over. Now, tell me, what are you trying to do here?
He has about 6 deviled eggs and a cricket that he's chopped up into little pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And about 20 corn chips.
I feel like we've all had that roommate that cooks like Snaps.
We definitely did.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Chef, I was going to treat everyone with some leftovers, and I had a little bit of nachos, but many of them were too soggy to eat. And I happened to ruin much of the meat with my cutting skills, but I'm hoping you could help me harvest this.
Oh, okay. So let's lay out everything that you've got on the table. Okay, so we have deviled eggs. Now, those go bad pretty quickly, so we're going to have to make sure we use them well. And then some soggy corn chips. Is that what you said? And what else was there?
Cricket. And I think we have a pumpkin somewhere. And
oh, yeah. Didn't we take that pumpkin from Ramshackle?
Yeah, it might be fine. And then I have a couple other vegetables. And so I have an onion.
An onion. Okay. Now, I think, okay, so here's what we're going to do. And Sue's going to start showing him what is the word I'm looking for? Just the chef's knife.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to slice all of these things really finely. So now Snaps, be careful of your knuckles. You got to keep your fingertips back.
He's already cut his knuckles.
Snaps.
No. It's fine. Listen, that head likes blood. We can give him a little seasoning on his chips.
You know, that's actually very thoughtful of you. I do think he would like that a lot. We'll set those aside for him. Now, listen here. Now, you got to be careful. So she's going to show him, like, tuck your fingers back, and we're going to chop everything up. And the dish that she is going to make are some fried corn chip fritters.
Mm.
I think that's what we're going for. So we're going to slice all up, make a little batter. I feel like the cricket, if it was dried out nicely, you could like make a little cricket flour, right? Like protein heavy cricket flour. Mm. And we'll batter them up and then deep fry them. That's what we're going for.
As you guys are cooking, and Snaps has wrapped up his knuckles that he immediately cut. Chef, I know you said you went to cooking school and everything, but did you ever want to do anything different, or has this always been sort of what calls out to you?
You know, with parents like mine, your destiny was kind of, it's kind of always set in stone. You know, they had big dreams for me to study under Fry, and from the moment I was born, they named me Sue. It's a little hurtful if you think about it, you know, making me a second for the rest of my life, but they had dreams for me, and those dreams kind of became my dreams. I never really thought about it.
So if you had a do-over, would you change things?
You know, it's, you don't want to live in those realities, because they're not. I think that I'm here now, and I do love what I do. It brings me so much joy to make food for people and know that they are sustained, healed by the things that I make. I think I feel fulfilled.
Well, maybe.
And filled, if you know what I mean. No, that tongue is real full.
Nice.
Well, I mean, don't tell my uncle this, but I don't know what to do. I don't want to run the boat shop. I don't like talking to people. I mean, we talked for about a week about the art of closing a deal, and I lost track maybe every 5 minutes. But I
heard the author of that book was convicted of 34 felonies.
But you know, growing up at the market, I was surrounded by good smells, and I got to see the look on people's faces when they had good food. And I think that's what I want to do. I think I want to be a cook, and so maybe you could help me. And we just keep this quiet from my uncle, because I think he might lose it if he hears. But
now, Snap's secrets are like dead bodies. They start smelling after a couple days. I don't think you want to keep this from your uncle. I mean, I only know him just a little bit. It's been however many days we've been on the boat, because we both know how many days we've been on the boat for sure. But I don't think you should keep it from him. I think we can practice, but you're going to have to tell him eventually.
Okay, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. And in the meantime, I'll master nachos, and we'll see if I can figure out how to make pizza. And maybe in the meantime, I can talk with Uncle Ridley about figuring out how to close deals, even though I'm pretty sure secrets are involved in this. Well, I appreciate it. I need someone to help me.
I got you. You can be my Sue. The Sue to my Sue.
As you talk about, like, the joy that cooking now brings you, you come from a pretty prestigious family amongst the halflings. Prestigious enough to have a dragon mark, which takes the shape of as a sort of tattoo. Is your tattoo visible, or is it like under your sleeves?
I think that it's probably, yeah, like high up on the shoulder. So when she like rolls her sleeves up to make food, you can probably see it peeking out just a little bit, but it's not obviously on display.
As you got really excited about what cooking has done for you, and in the meantime are like frying up some of the batter and helping dry out some of these crickets, you can see the tattoo glow, and all of the knives and the cutlery in the room starts like floating and starts doing the work for you.
That's awesome. Has Sue done this before?
No. This functions as the Spirit Guardian spell.
Oh.
That's very cool.
Sick. I love that.
Snap sees this and is like, oh. Is this what it means to be a real chef?
Well, you tell me. I mean, this is a surprise to me too. Usually it's just, you know, my meat tenderizer and my cleaver. This is surprising for me too.
Okay, well, I will see if I can do that, because this seems awesome. And we'll see. Donnie, what are you doing to pass the time as the boat goes down the river?
Donnie has pulled two... It's something that he's had on him the entire time, and it just hadn't felt right until recently. He's having a flashback to a school that he had gone to just outside of the labyrinth in barding and learning spells. That, I mean, we could say it's like Kalakshash. That's like the, it's like how they would say the binding flame, mm-hmm. which is like a different kind of religion. So maybe that's the name of the school. It's like if there was like a St. Mary's of the cross or whatever. It's pretty religious. He was a pretty good pupil. I think people were excited to see his change of career. Maybe this was somewhere for a bit before he started doing his own stuff. Again, it was pretty close to home, and I don't think a lot of people really knew about this. So some were sworn to secrecy that he was out there and he could give enough of an offhanded like excuse as to why he was there and learning things for the sake of, you know, securing the demon wastes and holding off Kyber and the, you know, abominations that would come out of the earth. And there were two specific teachers that stood out to him. And one of them was pretty adept in divination and illusion. And Donnie probably had an affinity for this person pretty quickly because they were just charismatic. You know, I think there's a lot of Donnie that was in this person that he found attractive. But then there was one. It's almost like when Kronk has like the devil and the angel. There was also a teacher that he had mad respect for that was very much into enchantment and necromancy. And as Donnie was on his way out, both of them gave him like a collection of scrolls to learn things, like when the time was right. And he knew he would have to make a decision between the two because he couldn't have both. And as he's sitting here kind of contemplating things, he was thinking about it last night. He had gone out to just do something with his hands. Like if he's not plucking at a guitar, he's like doing chores. He was working since he could probably walk. And so I think when he was hacking away at some wood, maybe with something crude that maybe that, you know, race would have made for like chopping wood, he wanted to do some damage for them that he felt like he could do quicker than they could. And as he's chopping, he's thinking back to that dream that he had, walking up on this Rakshasa warrior and kind of being asked to do something. And he's remembering some of the thrill, actually, he got from the first swipe that he had at a young age. And it was a clean cut. And he hated how good that felt. And there's always been a part of him that leans back to that, and he's starting to build the connection of how that felt. And he's looking down at these two scrolls, and he throws one of them into the air and casts Firebolt and just absolutely turns it to ash on the back of the boat. I don't know if anybody would have seen it. It happened probably pretty quickly. But what he destroyed was the scroll of divination and illusion. And he's opened up these scrolls and he's pulled out his instruments. And he's beginning to learn some necromancy and some enchantment with a little bit of a fire in his gut.
Very cool.
Making a big decision that I think he's been thinking about for a while.
I train Glint with his sword really fast.
did not do his scene?
No, we were talking about like training, but I didn't know how long the ride was. It's assumed okay. That we've done a little bit at least. I think that it's in the same way. Yeah, I feel like up at the back of the boat, there's just that's like the open area for when I think we were just trying to. I think at some point Ridley was just chopping at like a mast.
Hacking at the mast.
Yeah. So that's become...
Making sure the goods were used.
That's become the unofficial training ground. So I think it's really like classic pointers from Ridley, and he doesn't have a weapon that's the same size. Actually, He might have asked if he could borrow Fiddle's old non-magic cool sword.
Done. Donated.
Wow. And yeah, just trying to like again go through the motions. I think that Glint is really would definitely notice that Glint is just very hard on himself, and that he's actually an adept fighter. Like he's small, nimble, and quick. It's like all these things that Ridley is absolutely not. And so that I think yeah, that's the interpretation of that from Ridley's side.
I think as Glint keeps swinging this sword, he's just getting angrier and angrier. He felt pretty powerless as we were fighting in that giant circle of mushroom fire. Because in real life, the man who controls Glint, a guy named Doge, was out of spell slots and couldn't do pretty much anything during that fight. But I think Glint is feeling pretty powerless, and he's sort of taking that out on... I guess on the mast. I guess we're just chopping up this boat.
Somebody's got mending.
And you're the best around. Not the
exactly. It's very much a
100%. The best.
It's very much a paint the fence kind of moment.
Yeah, Donnie's cleaning. He's waxing the side while I'm doing that.
Fiddlesticks is just chasing chickens.
Glint gets a couple of real hard strikes in on the last one. A few sparks of radiant energy blast off of his sword when he hits the mast. As part of my level up, I was able to learn a smite. I learned branding smite at level 5.
Hey.
I think after that, Glint's gonna maybe wipe the sword off. Did anybody notice that, Ridley? Did you notice that light coming off the sword?
Yeah, so I think Ridley would say at some point he was probably trying to say like, hey, why don't you break that? Like, you can fight me. Stop. You're gonna destroy our boat. And then he saw that spark and he's like, okay, I recognize what just happened there. Do you know what just happened there?
I felt power. Mm. I felt anger. I felt fury.
Yet, I understand. I understand more than you know. Let's look past that for a second. As much as you can look past a feeling, I guess. Did you feel anything positive? Did you feel any connection?
I think Glint thinks back to the runes he's been drawing over and over again in his sketchbook. I felt like I was bringing safety to my family, to the people I care about. In swinging this sword, I was ensuring that maybe they wouldn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one way to bring that safety. Glint, I know a thing or two about anger. I have wrestled with that particular dragon my entire life, and I will continue to wrestle. It's a signpost. And I want you to look past it. And the more that you can see that as safety, the more that you can see that as a signal that it is your opportunity to protect, the more that you can start to rewrite how you're wired. Because, brother, whether you're doing smites or swinging a sword or doing some incredible magic or just using that wild brain of yours, you bring a lot of safety, and you have been this entire time. We need you to be fully you. Stop trying to be us. Be you, yeah?
Ridley, do you ever have dreams? I mean, like everyone has dreams, obviously. Your brain has to do something while your body recovers. Do you ever have visions?
Oh boy. I want you to say more about your experience. I did see this weird turtle godhead underwater recently. I was awake. I don't know. What? Speak on that.
I keep having these... Well, they started as nightmares and now they just... out of body experiences at night while I'm trying to sleep. I haven't told the others. I don't want them to think less of me or think I'm losing it. In my dreams, I'm someone named Dale. And I saw Ramshackle in my dream. He was younger, sure, but it was the wizard that your brother-in-law abducted? Killed? I don't know.
Allegedly.
Yeah, you think it a little too highly of my brother-in-law. Well, listen, Glenn, I'm not going to pretend to know all about that. But what I do know is that the body and the mind, it keeps a tally. It's working through stuff, and best advice is let it. See what comes out. And also, Glint is a way cooler name than Dale.
Well, you'll have to thank my parents for that one. Turtle God, you say. You saw Turtle God.
I think so. I don't know. I'm hoping that God will tell me a little bit more later in some other mountain log that he does.
Glint, sort of like digs in his satchel. He's been wearing his giant satchel full of arcano cores, and just all his junk is in this crossbody bag. And he pulls out the scroll of commune. I got this scroll back in underneath the abbey. It was behind the nest, spelling out those creepy words that Leadhead, against all odds, managed to memorize. I think this will let you talk to a divine being. I want you to have this. I'm not so much for the divine, but
oh, wow.
whether it's Turtle God or you never know who's going to pick up the phone.
Wow, Glint. Thanks. I'll let you know what I find out.
Davy has a bone, looks like a rib bone, and he is going ham, pretending it is a sword on the mast.
Cute. Awesome.
Davy, you're looking good. Tuck those elbows in, buddy.
You say tuck those elbows in? He does have shockingly good form.
Amazing.
I'm gonna walk past Davy while Ridley's talking to him and just pat him on the back. Just be like, you've almost got him, buddy. The mast is about to give up. And I'm going to find a quiet place on the boat and then keep... I've been sort of working on etching into this sword. As an artificer, I can take an infusion, which gives me a +1 to a weapon. And so I'm taking my infusion to this short sword. It's a +1. But Glint is carving the runes for fury on one side and then safety on the other. And he's carving it into there. I guess he's using maybe his jeweler's tools or his smith's tools. And as he does it, he says, "You bring the fury of the storm winds, dashing the ships of your enemies against the rocks. You are the safety born on the claws of a mother raptor, defending her eggs from those who seek to harm her and her family." And then he flips the sword over, starts to work on the other side, and he says, "You are Hail Fang."
Yeah, I forgot to mention that Fiddle's carved "being cool" and "sick ass" into his sword because he saw Glint doing that.
You are Vape Cloud.
Vape Cloud. Power of the gods.
As you carve into your sword, Glint, you notice that your Mark of Storms has advanced and new marks have formed on your hand.
Yeah. I think he's just hearing Ridley's words. As he notices that, he's just hearing Ridley's words over again in his head. Stop trying to be us. Be you.
Ridley's level up is really quick, and I think it actually just happened then. So the whole point of Ridley's was, I think he has just realized and reflected that he is being asked to step up as a these people are depending on him in ways that he never asked them to. And he's like reluctant to accept that because he's just never, other than snaps, like it's just the opportunity for family has never presented itself. And so he, as an older man, just takes that in the form of like power, like, okay, I need to be aggressive. If this is the role, which is really funny to hear Glint processing through it. And he's like, ooh, don't do that. That's actually really bad for you. He, in level 5, I got an additional attack. So I can just attack one more gain. And then I added to my stats. And so added in the charisma skill. So that's like talking our way through things. Inspiring the group, intimidation of our enemies, like that type of thing. And then strength, throwing, punching, hitting, and stabbing. And in that conversation, I think he just is reflecting on this role as leader and in the ways in which he's being asked to lead. Not as the leader, but knowing that he can bring this and that it's therefore like his job to do it.
As you are wrapping up that, and Donnie is finishing his scroll. First of all, the fog begins to dissipate, and you can smell old leather, manure, the smell of hay. The river pushes you down a little bit further, and eventually you can see in the distance, on a bank, there is a large sign that says Cross Fork Stables, and you see a barge that's docked on this swampy beach. There's a huge man coming from the barge who has a lead. Attached to the lead is a striped horse that he's leading into the stables.
A zebra? Do you mean a zebra?
It is a zebra, in fact.
Whoa.
In the same way that Nicole Kidman is a chicken.
Hey, leave her out of this.
I think we did, actually. I don't think she's been in this episode.
She's just hanging out. True. She's just hanging out.
You can see that there's a corral nearby that has quite the variety of odd animals. There is a dire hog, which is like a hog, except it is the size of a buffalo. Speaking of a buffalo, there is a giant buffalo, so it is the size of this barn, but it is in a corral.
A dire buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a dire buffalo.
There is a hamster that is the size of a cow.
Oh, say it gosh. With me.
A dire hamster.
And there is a a giant snail, but instead of eye stalks, it has flails for eyes.
Wait, I know what this is called. I know what this is called. Oh, come on. Mind palace.
You can roll a nature or an arcana check if you want to see if you know.
If Sue knows. Yeah, I probably should have seen if Sue knows, not Mariah. I'm very bad at, I think, both of those things.
That's all right.
So we'll roll nature just for funsies. That's a 9 minus 2, a 7.
It's a big old snail. It has a pretty magnificent shell.
Foil
Sue's
snail.
Sue's just sitting there holding her eyes saying, I know what this is called. I know what this is called. And it's not coming to her.
A snail. Can I roll a history check to see if I've heard or read about any great big menageries of magnificent beasts in the middle of the swamp?
Sure.
9 plus 6, 12.
That's not math.
You don't math. Recognize...
It's not. It's not. 6 plus 6, 12.
You can't... you don't recall anything about some sort of, like, swamp zoo, but... You have heard a story that you thought was fiction about a giant hamster from the heavens.
A giant hamster from the heavens?
Mm-hmm. You thought it was fiction, but turns out it possibly could be real. Donnie, you certainly recognize this hog as the orcs from the Demon Wastes ride hogs like this as horses.
Oh my God. So Donnie just got done with his scroll. He rolls over. He's about ready to freaking like jump in the water if he can. He leans over the edge of this boat and he just yells, "Suey! Suey, yeah. You old bag of pancetta, what the hell? Where have you been?"
"Donnie, I'm right here.
Right at the..."
"Donnie, I'm..."
"So, no, not you, Suey. Sorry, Suey. I'm sorry. It's just been tearing up my heart to say your name all the time because that guy over there has been through it with me. I cannot believe it right now. Suey, hot damn." He's like looking over, talking right to the dire hog.
What are the odds?
You see it turn towards you, and it's quite hairy. It has pretty long hair compared to most hogs you've seen. And it starts galloping towards you, and it's making this whoop, whoop, whoop noise.
Oh, my God.
As it seems to recognize
you. Somebody get this boat to the dock right now. I'm about to put a sloppy one on that there pig. Oh, my God.
With a similar intensity, Fiddles is freaking out over the hamster, but not with familiarity. Just like, oh, my God, that's a big hamster.
Fiddles, would it move your needle at all if I told you that hamster came from heaven?
What?
It's God's hamster, Fiddles.
You telling me that when there was only one set of four hamster footprints in the sand?
That's right. You rode the hamster from heaven.
Ridley looks at the snail and is just kind of like, "Yee."
Oh, you see that very large humanoid turn towards you after he ties up the zebra.
Talking? How big we talking is this guy?
He's
a dire human.
He's pushing 8 feet tall. Glint, you would know that this is a Goliath, which is a human with giant blood.
I'm going to climb that guy like a tree.
Was the zebra just like a straight up zebra?
Yep, normal zebra.
Lame.
Zebra sucks.
Lame. That's old news.
Sorry, it's a...
Show me new zebra.
It's a miniature zebra.
Oh, okay, I'm back in.
I need it now.
Now I want that. Yeah.
But there is a normal standard... as far as you know, border collie who is in the corral with all the giant animals.
Puppy.
Can Fiddles roll for lay down with all animals?
Snuggle roll?
You can roll an animal handling to see how they treat you as you approach.
It's not going to go great for me, but we'll give it a try because I just want to be my friend. Uh-oh, that's a 19 minus 1.
Are we docked? Ooh.
Yeah, you can dock. The giant space hamster walks over to you and just looks at you pretty close. It's eating some sort of large nut as it just looks at you straight in the eyes.
Fiddles hugs that hamster. Fiddles hugs it's that hamster.
Very soft belly.
Yes, it does. I nuzzle in and I'm good for whatever happens next. I'm in here.
Robert the giant toad is hopping along with you guys.
I forgot about Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
Is Robert the giant?
For sure.
Huh. Well, I wonder if Robert the giant toad has any relation to all the other giant animals here and the one tiny zebra.
How giant is Robert?
He's croaking. He's big.
Huge.
Big. I'm picturing like bulldog size.
Why didn't you try this earlier? You're great at this.
Huge. Yeah.
Knowing what I know about this Goliath, do we need to be alarmed? Do we think he's going to be friendly?
Because
I mean, Goliath from Bible is not good.
He waves at you guys and goes, "Oh, hey there, I'm Jim."
Yeah, this is Goliath from marketing, not Goliath from Bible.
How can I help you?
This guy seems cool.
I'm watching Donnie. Yeah.
I'll tell you what Donnie's done. Donnie is running full speed to Suey and absolutely like tackles him. Like they kind of start fighting. Like he's punching Suey like in the face. Just like come in here, you. Like just like he can't get over it. And then Suey's like nuzzling down at Donnie's waist. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, of course. And like Donnie pulls out the whip and just holds it up in front of himself. And Suey picks it up and flips Donnie onto his back. And they just kind of are trotting around a little bit. He's Baller. Like, God, it's like I never left, Suey.
Suey is snorting and
riding around,
snorting and farting with glee.
Yeah, 100%. Going absolutely nuts. Cannot believe it.
Yeah, Jim's like, seems like we got a little bit familiar. Seems like we got some animal lovers. What seems to bring you folks by
from
the
underneath the giant hamster? You just hear Fiddles being like,
"Don't you do this? We're just trying to have a good time."
Oh, yeah, you and everybody else seems like just having a good time.
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome to the stables. As you can see, a little bit back, we got a couple more little exhibits. If you're here to bring your own exotic animal, you might want to swing by the cottage first and meet Jody. Jody's a darling. Hope you didn't hear any awful rumors about her.
Absolutely not. No, but nobody's saying a bad thing about Jody.
And even if they had, I you know, I wouldn't have believed them.
Is Jody the hag?
How loud was that whisper?
It was just to you.
Shh. That's not an answer. That's what they call, that's what people call her, but we're not supposed to call her that. Is hag a slur? I don't know.
I'm currently busy. It's an animal's feeding time right now, but if you go into the barn, you can meet one of my friends, Hugo. You'll know him for his bandana. And he can give you a bit of a tour.
Glenn's just going to look up at Ridley and just be like, we have to find Ramshackle. Should we go on the tour of this swamp zoo or go straight to Jody?
We should get our bearings. Also, I want to see if there's a finder's fee for our friend, bringing our friend Robert.
I have 1,096 bearings, to be exact.
Leadhead has stayed back in the barge, just in case anyone is wondering.
How's he doing, by the way? Did we check in on him post-sippage?
No one did check on him, but he is doing fine.
That's good.
Great. Cornelius and Mezcal down there with him, too?
Yep. He tossed the tail into the river after he was done
the evidence.
Slurping.
Should we put Cornelius and Mezcal in like a bag of rice or something to try and dry those guys out?
Dry them out?
They used a spell to dry themselves off.
Show offs. Hmm.
Wait, great way to use a slot, guys.
It's a cantrip. So it's free.
Oh, dang. It was on a wall.
I cast the cantrip dry off.
It's prestidigitation.
Oh, yeah. Can I, can Donnie kind of like try and figure out where Suey's been?
So as you ride around on Suey, who is overjoyed to see you, you can see the hoof prints in the dirt of the corral. And it seems like Suey's been here for a little bit.
Okay.
Unless you have a spell, I don't believe you can speak to Suey. Speak to animal spell. But
well,
perhaps,
he just won't talk back.
Perhaps it would be in your best interest to inquire from how they acquired Suey.
Gotcha. Good deal. Frolicking, hugging, kissing. Donnie gets off Suey. And keeping him in sight. Like, definitely. It's the kind of thing to where it's like, when you get up at night, sometimes I will be obsessive and like stare at a door to make sure that it's locked, like before I go to bed or before I leave the house. I think that's what Donnie's doing with Suey right now. Just like, you're there, right? Like, that's happening. This is happening. And he goes over to remind me, it was a very Jeff.
Jim.
Donnie comes over. I think his heart is beating so fast. I think he's like winded from reunion. And he comes up and he's like, "Hey, Jeff, man, where did you find this hog? Like, who brought him in? What are you feeding him now? He likes to have
meat. I know that's weird sometimes, but where we came from, he kind of changed his diet a little bit because that's about all that there was. And if you do have it, he can handle 2 days old. But he's it's good to mix in some veggies and some vitamins and stuff like that. Where would you find him? Who brought him here?
Well, he came about 2 years back, and he came on a pretty large ship that sailed through the river. It was manned by a good amount of orcs. It seems as if they were on a bit of a journey.
So did you get any names of the orcs or what they looked like? Did they happen to just decide to offload a hog for some reason? Or
yeah, it's...
Was it for pay?
It was, yes, we paid them, as Jody does pay a good bit for exotic animals. And she had been saying for years that she wanted to get a dire hog. I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but it will be in the log in the cottage.
Great. Okay. You said about 2 years ago.
Yeah, two and a half years ago.
Gotcha. Donnie's kind of tunnel vision. Definitely wants to go check out the log. I think Donnie's heading to the cabin.
Okay. As everybody walks through the barn, on the way to the cabin or the cottage, you can see that there's a dwarf that is shoveling in one of the stalls. It's a dwarf with a bright red bandana around his head. Inside, there are several feathered raptors. There is a nightmare, which is like a Pegasus, but black.
Sick.
Cool.
There is a rhino that has gilded metal wings.
Sick.
Three mastiffs that are the size of ponies.
Dire mastiffs.
And another Goliath is brushing one of those mastiffs.
At the side of the... Well, first of all...
Hagrid.
I Doge. Thank you for including feathered velociraptors.
Mm-hmm.
Glint is not excited to see those raptors. Immediate sweaty palms kind of trying to stay away. Breathing gets a little bit heavy, a little shallow and rapid once we see those velociraptors.
Hey, Hugo?
Oi.
Hey, yeah, Jim told us to find you. We are, we're looking for a cottage. I'm sure we can see it, but I'm pretending like we can't. But we're newcomers to your fine establishment here. Just want to make sure that we know the right sights to see. You got some incredible, incredible beasts here.
Oi. Just nods.
The word tour was used.
You can see the look of dismay on his face. And he looks at you and says,
Jim is always offering the tour at my expense. If you want a tour, go see Jim.
Okay.
Ridley, this seems like a closed loop of tour promises.
Yeah. No. Not Jim.
One tour guide only tells the truth. One tour guide only tells lies.
Glint's like, my book, my logic book, this was in there. It's destiny.
Not Jim. Jem.
God. Oh. I sure hope no one makes a podcast of this where those sound the same.
With a G, Jem.
Okay.
Like a stone.
Yeah, Jim and Jem. They're brothers.
One is short for James and one is short for... Rocks.
Gems.
Gimalda.
Gemerald.
Okay, Hugo, understood. Yeah, this is getting really clear and very easy to see how we get this tour. Don't want to take up too much of your time. Do you by chance already have a giant frog named Robert here? Or am I about to blow your mind?
Go see Jody. I don't handle
anything.
Newcomers.
Yeah, it sounds like you do the shoveling. I appreciate it, Hugo. All right, we are off.
Hmm. There are three paths presented to you.
Dice Tower Theater presents Dawn of Dragons, a fantasy audio drama.
Ambush!
For all intents, I should have you exiled.
Time to wait.
The Sunless.
Down.
Our young heroes, bound by love and kinship, are forced on a quest to discover the truth behind the magic of dragons and seek those that stole it before their world itself is destroyed by the growing power of the Dark Army.
Come with us. Don't just wait here for death.
I won't lose you, my friend.
Take us below them.
Brother, hold on.
You better answer me.
What was your name again?
The Blue Flame has the great risk, correct?
Are you sure, Sophie? I foresee a path you can understand, let alone tread. But you will have to walk yourself.
I am no stranger to being alone. I know it better than anything else.
Dice Tower Theater, a Good Hand production, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Wake. And remember the first thing you sense as your first clue.
This is Vince. Hope you're enjoying this episode of Imagine Dungeons. Hey, real fast, I've got two quick requests for you. If you have enjoyed what you're listening to, first, I'd love it if you would just leave a rating and a review right in the platform that you're on. That could be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, whatever it is you're using, just a quick rate and review right there. The second thing that you could do is tell someone that you love, shoot, even someone that you like about the show. Great people surround themselves with great people, and we know you have great taste in shows. You probably have great taste in human beings that would love to hear it too. That would mean the world to us. Thanks so much for listening. Okay, let's go back to the show.
As you guys walk down the path, there is a ton of colorful foliage. You can see that there are little rows of certain plants, as well as, colorful flowers and vines climb up the walls of a cottage and even the roof. There's an old wooden door that marks the entrance.
Donnie's trying to get in. I think he has also been trapped enough. It feels like everywhere we go, pumpkins are dangerous and mirrors will take you forever. So do like perception check of the area around the door. Can I do that?
Sure.
Great.
Donnie does love to smell doors.
That's true. he takes a big 7 + 5 whiff. I got a 12.
With the 12, you know a lot of these are potion ingredients and other maybe spell casting components, but nothing that you recognize other than just flowers. They're pretty. They're different colors.
Clint's just going to walk up while Donnie has his nose to the door and just look him out of the side of his eye and knock 3 times on the door.
When you knock, you hear some shuffling inside.
You die.
Like cards?
At the door's mimic.
Oh no! Oh no!
Not cards. And coming to the door is a hunched older woman with a scarf wrapped around her head.
Are those sunglasses?
She has glasses that do have a tint to them.
Is she wearing aviators?
Dig a little deeper.
She says that. Well, hey. What brings y'all here?
Well, you must be Jody.
Yep, that's what they call me.
Jody, I gotta tell you, you got a wonderful thing going on here.
Yep, I appreciate it. It's taken a lot of work and a lot of years of collecting, but it's going okay.
Donnie's kind of peeked in, kind of looking for the lock. Still kind of tunnel vision right now.
Inside, from what you can see from the doorway, there is a ton of scattered papers and you can see a table where there's a mortar and pestle.
She's a hoarder, dude. I knew it.
Somebody called TLC. Yeah.
I don't know why I immediately thought of Left Eye and the crew. I like the band.
Sure. No, I got it.
Waterfalls. Yeah, sure. It's fine. It's not funny at all. Waterfalls. Donnie says, I
did want to inquire about you got a big dire hog out here. I'm really interested to find out how you might have come across him. Hagrid told me that there was some big orc ship that might have dropped him off and got some good coin for it. I was wondering if there was any record of that. I'd love to know. You know, obviously, this hits a little bit close to home. You know, I don't know if he's for sale or anything like that, or really. Well, what do you do? Like, what's the function here of this spot?
Well, over the years, I guess I'll go backwards. I've always loved animals. And
I'll go backwards. Zip, love, flaps.
Always loved animals. And, well, I suppose I just never stopped collecting them. You might have seen my Bordy Collie out front.
Bordy Collie.
That was my first. She's been with me for about 600 years now. And over time, I've just loved collecting the ones that I never get to see. You know, I've always wondered, why isn't there a place that you could go to see all kinds of animals from all over the world that you never get to see from your corner?
We've all been hit on the head lots of times in the past. We did 600 years.
Oh, sure.
Did you say 600 years?
Yeah.
They usually only do about 15.
Oh, yeah. This is a special one.
You're not supposed to ask, but are you also?
Oh, that's sweet. I'm a little older than that, by, you know, 100 years or so.
Is that common in these parts, or?
Well, when you diddle with a little bit of magic and a little bit of fey spirits or so, you can figure it out.
Are you familiar at all with, I don't know, like a local weirdo, sort of an old guy? I don't know. Do you know?
Old men are always here.
Well,
so you might need to be a little more specific.
He lives a little bit away. I mean, he lived a little bit away from here. Do you know Ramshackle?
Oh, Ramshackle. What a man. Yes, I've known him for quite a bit. You know, I think he's been a little bit insecure about his old age lately. He's been wearing a lot more leather. But, yeah, I know him.
I saw his convertible carriage outside.
That means we can smell him. Because doesn't it smell like leather? Ramshackle's
Jacquard
been,
Noir.
He's been rolling around in these medical fields out here.
He's been riding around and getting it.
Riding around and
getting it. Ma'am, do you have any idea why, to be frank with you, we're looking for Ramshackle?
I thought I made that pretty clear.
There's this 11-fingered monkey who gave us a map with
thumbs. I know thumbs. He's a sweetheart.
So do we. We also know
him. Did
he
talk to you?
I think he has 12 fingers.
Did he talk to us?
Yeah.
No, he didn't speak to us. And he does have 12, I'm sorry.
You don't... None of y'all know sign language?
We rolled pretty bad. If thumbs...
Honestly, we were...
Donnie
well,
just does a thumbs down.
A few of us
down.
Were pretty close, but...
If thumbs was huge, he would be great here.
I know thieves can't and English.
I've been trying to buy thumbs from Ramshackle for ages, but... Those two are tight.
Speaking of Ramshackle...
He's missing.
Yes! Oh, you're familiar with the problem we have.
Well, we could do a little divination magic, see if we can see where he went off to.
Great, so you just do that then.
Well, I gotta gather some ingredients for that.
Can we help?
But, yeah, why don't you come along with me?
I'm hoping you'd say no. Okay.
And She walks inside and comes out with it looks like a metal disc that she tosses on the ground. Onto the metal discs are two pole. It looks like there's a ramp on one side of the metal disc. And she snaps her fingers and it starts floating. And she just climbs aboard and it starts carrying her around. It's like, well, gotta get a couple ingredients.
Fiddle's eyes go wide at this magical contraption.
Mm-hmm. What's Davy doing?
Davy is happily skipping along behind you. He's still carrying the rib bone.
Amazing. Does he care about the lady on the frisbee?
He seems to not be like he's not emoting.
It's just right like now. Davy to be nonchalant about this whole thing, honestly.
Davy's seen it all.
Yep.
Classic. I think I'm going to just look at Ridley and just give a little nod.
Ridley reaches for his glaive.
shake my head so fast.
It was a test. And
muster up
just
the courage.
Gives him a potion again that's like, give it to your strongest warrior.
Muster up the courage to ask Jody, so is Thumbs the only monkey that Ramshackle's ever mentioned?
Well, Ramshackle's always had an affinity for monkeys and primates. He's been involved with the great apes in the plains, and over the years, there was a while where he was trying to make a little group of intelligent apes, and it was not working out for him. But right now, he does have Thumbs, and Thumbs has learned how to communicate, and so I think that's what his current project is.
Has he ever mentioned the name Aya?
How do you know Aya?
It must have been in a biography of his that I read at NBU.
Oh, do you know? So at NBA, you familiar with the Talenta Plains? You know about the halflings and their cultures and such?
Yes, I do quite a lot, actually.
Well, one of the more secluded halfling tribes deep in the jungles in the northeast have a special bond with great apes, and Aya was the first one.
Right. Sure, right. Yeah. No, I remember now. Thank you.
Anyways, hey, y'all know y'all are marked by vampires, right?
Yep. Very aware, yep.
Yeah, sort of this whole thing.
We would like to be rid of that, if that's an option.
I could probably help you out if you got me some, like, vampires that I could use as components to a spell.
Do they live after the spell?
No, but they're not living in the first place, so who cares?
Well, we have none. We have none you can use.
Can I interest you? Could I interest you in a giant frog named Robert?
Oh, I see him hopping around. You sure could.
We call him Ribbert.
Yeah, why don't... look, we'll swing by a pond. Ribbert can hang out there if he wants. And then afterwards, whenever we're trying to find Ramshackle, we can talk business. Sound good?
I meant more for the you get rid of the vampire stuff. Could you explode this frog and get rid of the vampire stuff?
No, it don't work like that, baby. It's I need the vampires as sacrifice to get rid of their mark on you.
What if we had some ones that were already dead?
Doesn't work like that. You know, there's no sacrifice there.
It would be hard. That is sacrificial.
Okay. Well, too bad we didn't take them as captives, y'all.
As you guys walk down the path, you see that there's a large barn that is labeled reptiles. And the wood has been carved to resemble scales. There's a huge doorway that when you enter through, in the middle of the room, hanging like a chandelier, is a giant ice cube. And the room is frigid. You see that they're like magically enforced pens, pens like an animal pen. Mm. And there are four anacondas that have feathery wings. There is what looks like a toad, but it has tentacles. There, in one little case, there's about 100 poisonous dart frogs of different shades. And there's a shiny black tortoise. And a bunch of eggs under a heat lamp.
Fiddles hesitates outside the door to this room and just sort of like whispers to the crew.
I'm pretty notoriously cheeked up. So I think I'm going to keep my distance from these anacondas.
When you walk into the room, everybody can make a perception check.
A roll. Pretty bad at this. Oops.
Yeah. 15 plus 3, 18.
18 plus 3, 21.
That's a 4 minus 1, 3.
That's a B plus 5, 25.
Critical.
Beautiful.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I got a critical failure. I shut my eyes again mid-blink.
missed the door.
Glint, Sue, and Donnie, as soon as you walk into the room, you see that there is a Yuan Ti, which is like a snake woman, who is perched on a little piece of wood at the very top of the room, watching everyone.
She's looking at my cakes.
Hello up there. My name's Sue. What's yours?
Cynthia. And Jody's like, oh, don't worry about her. She takes care of the reptiles.
No.
Donnie, you notice that there's a bunch of discarded scales in the corner of the room. Jody motions her hands and one flies into her hand. But as everybody leaves the room, you feel pretty confident that you could snag one as you leave.
Yeah, I'm taking one.
Ma'am, what are those eggs going to be?
Oh, just various things. I think most of those are going to be my anacondas. One of those, I found a way to most of the time, poisonous dart frogs hatch one by one, but I found a way to make one egg hatch about 100 of them.
Hatching your frogs in bulk.
Oh, great.
Yes, pretty efficient. There's a lot of things out here who come out here looking for poison, and it's a pretty easy way to make money so we can keep feeding the animals.
So do you sell the frogs?
The little ones, yep. Yeah. Got a lot of big name. A lot of big name clients out here.
Interesting.
Okay.
As you guys exit the reptile barn, you see that there is a giant corral here. You see a huge nest that's about the size of a house. And in the corral, you see that there are several raptors that are tearing apart a hunk of meat. There is, in a separate corral, two of those humongous buffalo grazing. A tiny one behind them is bounding behind them, jumping into the piles of hay. But inside of the massive nest are two wyverns that are cuddling. And you see a sign in front that says breeding grounds.
I think the wow. sight of the velociraptors, Glint is kind of stopping dead in his tracks. Just taking more of those real quick, shallow breaths. Clenching and unclenching his fist. If he was barefoot and had seen Die Hard, he'd be making fists with his toes.
You okay? You seen raptors before?
A couple times. Once or twice, maybe. I'd lose count.
Oh, these ones are sweet. I wouldn't worry about it. They're not going to come get you.
No, I'm not worried.
The wyverns you might want to keep your distance. They get.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, okay.
We breed them pretty.
Distance is good.
Pretty aggressive. So a little bit to be worried about there.
Yeah, no, aggressive's perfect. It's how you want them.
Great way to breed things.
Can Donnie Donnie hang back and like look at this skin that he has?
Yeah, so in your hand is a huge scale. It is, it's the size of your hand. And it's like when you pause to hang back and look at it, you feel it pulling towards Ridley a little bit.
Okay, gotcha.
Not only that, in the meantime, Ridley, you feel something in your shell buzzing with like a ferocious intensity. Like it's almost rattling inside of you.
In
where you keep all your stuff.
Oh. Like my phone?
Mm-hmm. Your goodie pouch.
You're getting a text.
Another Amber alert. Donnie's gonna kind of like walk up. I think what Donnie's gonna do initially, and just for a good show, is like knows he wants to get a bit closer to Ridley. And so he's just gonna like put the scale real quick like in the front of his pants and like start to get a little bit closer.
Pants first.
Great.
And kind of walk up to like talk to Ridley. Be like, hey, bud.
Yeah, hey, can you, is there something on my shell? I can't, it's like really, it's feeling really weird. This.
Do you carry a bag or do you store all your stuff in your shell?
I had never thought about it. And then you said that I have like a little house in my shell that I don't understand how that works, but I'll go with that.
So you feel something is moving along in your storage compartment.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So great. Then I will just, yeah. Hey, Donnie, give me just 1 second. And then it's just like, and Ridley goes all the way in his shell. Just.
A certain rock is vibrating with a ferocious intensity. And you see that there's a little hole and some sound is coming from it. It's like,
Ridley, Ridley, my old pal. Can you hear me? It's me, Ingo. We made a pact.
Oh yeah, Ingo. Hey, yeah, we love your hat.
Oh, thank you. It's a great one. It hurt a lot to give it to you. It is a childhood memento. Anyways, I am calling in my little favor.
Yep.
Whoa.
Perfect. You hear like the sound of like a kazoo in the background.
I want one of those wyvern eggs.
Oof.
Sorry, you are. I am out in. You wouldn't believe this. I am in a bunch of mountains. Really dry, sort of arid climate, but it has really bad reception. Can you say that again?
You are with Jody the Hag of Crossfork, and I want one of her wyvern eggs.
Okay. No. I'll do the next one, though. Man, the next favor, you're going to love it. I will do that one so well.
Unfortunately for you, you are magically compelled, which is awesome. I do not care how you get it. You could be nice and buy it from her. You could trade. You could steal it from her. You could kill the warmongers that she breeds wyverns for and take an egg from them. However you want to get it is fine by me.
Okay, how long do I have?
I will give you a week to take care of this. I'm generous. A week feels like a good amount of time.
Yeah, super generous.
Totally.
Normally negotiations don't take that long. You seem not like the type to kill an old woman who takes care of animals and take everything she's worth. So you could negotiate and get this from her. And, oh, by the way, yes, again, you should not kill her because she could do very good things for you. But, you know, I'm not one to judge. You can kill her if you want.
Yeah,
nobody was talking about killing anyone and, except for you, so...
It's just an option. I don't care how you get the egg.
Yeah,
it would be beneficial to you to not kill Jody, but if that's how you get me the egg, who cares?
Understood. Okay. Could you not buzz this rock? It's very strange. I can't explain it, but it's like your spleen is getting a phone call.
Some people would like that, but that's fine.
Can Donnie figure out, like, is the scale attracted to the rock, or is it to Ridley himself?
It is to Ridley. Ooh. It seems to want to attach itself to his shell.
Yeah, Ridley pops back out.
Listen, I got to a certain distance away, and there was really not much that I could do. I don't really know how to explain this.
Yeah, I think the breeding grounds there, I have is something for the in wyvern, not for sure. Yeah,
for sure. That's great. Yes, it seems there's also something in my storage that's going off a little. That doesn't make it any better.
You saw an old friend. I get it.
No, Rid, here, let me look. And then he like reaches into his pants pulls out the scale. And like, I'm sure.
Well, I think I appreciate that, but and like I'm sure his like arms are tensing up a little bit.
Yeah, it's
because he's maybe fighting against this. And he's like, "Do you recognize this? It seems to recognize you."
Yeah. So earlier tonight we talked about like a descendant of dragon belief in the Tortles. We didn't really resolve if Ridley believed in that. I don't think he would. Can I roll something here? Or do I just know it intrinsically? I don't know.
You would know. There's a story amongst the Fishtians that a certain scale containing one of the lost pieces of the Fish Messiah that was saved and tends to appear throughout history. Tends to benefit heroes who fight for a certain cause.
Whoa!
So this is, I guess, let it go. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
The scale flies out of Donnie's hand and attaches itself to your shell where it spreads, creating this like red striped pattern on your shell.
Sick.
What?
You are now attuned to the holy scale.
Like holy grail?
Exactly.
That's so good.
I love it.
You chose wisely.
It belongs in a museum.
Ridley, you hear a voice in your head.
Is it? If it's Ingo again, I swear.
Child of the waves, we have work to do.
And I think that is where we're going to end our session tonight.
Ooh.
What? We've been trying to reach you about the warranty on your shell.